Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
You are made to be in a place to have regular daily communion with Him.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
Truths that are taught by the Lord at the very last hours of His life on this earth, I think, are very needful today in our day and age, as we're going to talk about soul tsunami. I'd like to use that as a picture and illustration of what really can and is happening in multiple people, in multiple families, in multiple lives, and really our own country today in a cultural sense, that there is a torrent, a killer wave that is just rolling its way through our own lives today. As I'm looking at a group of individuals, as was the disciples, that had no idea that within a 24-hour period, their whole world was going to be upside down. And Jesus, in that window of time, He being the only one that knew this is what's going to take place, began emphasizing themes and topics, really summarizing the last 3 years of teaching that He had, taking all of the scriptures that He had fulfilled as we have it in the scriptures, and put them into topics, and was saying to them, you need these. And He was saying, you better have a deep foundation in Me, or you will not end up surviving the tsunamis of life that blow through your own soul. And I would say to you, therefore, in your own life, where are you in the foundations of your own life? What are you going to hang on to? Maybe better yet, what are you hanging on to? When pressures come into your life, what is your anchor point? What is your foundation? So I'd like to emphasize for you what I believe to be 7 very critical foundations that if you're going to survive your world and the pressures of your own life, let me give you these 7. I'm not going to get to all of them, but I think these are important. I've said them before, and this is an ongoing part of a full series in the era of a faith-filled start, Life from the Scriptures. If you don't understand this, really, anything that comes along your little world is going to sway you. And therefore, I want to give you these 7. Number 1, very foundation to all of it, is the Lordship of Christ through the authority of Scripture. The Lordship of Christ, what do you mean by the Lord? The term itself basically means to be the boss, the controller. He tells you what to do. That has got to be a foundation of your life, that you step back and you see, you know what's going to get me through those difficult times? That the Lord is the one that when my heart is troubled, that He is the way, the truth, the life. And that does start with a point of salvation. It starts with a relationship with Christ. Let me give you a second foundation. It's the faithfulness by walking in faith. God's not called us to be successful as the world measures success, but to be faithful. It's not a responsibility to promote ourselves or the outward visible growth of our life or ministry. And if we'll take care of the depth of our lives, God will take care of the breadth of our ministry. I think we've stated that before. It covers the area of giving my talents and our vocation, our tithes and our monies and our own time. It's expressed in the New Testament church, and you never find a single believer without being connected to a church, because that's where you show your faithfulness. I think C.S. Lewis said it right in his quoting in his Screwtape Letters. He says, does Satan instill in us a horror? Listen, does Satan instill in us a horror of, quote, the same old thing, along with an insatiable desire for novelty? But God balances our love of choice with a love of permanence, unquote. You know what? Wise words, my friend. That's why Jesus was saying, listen, if you are going to end up standing for me as the Lordship of Christ and authority of Scripture, you will end up learning the value of faithfulness by walking in faith. It's not the ritual, but it's the routine. It's not coming to maintain my salvation at church, but to grow in a personal relationship. And I want to encourage you, my friend, if you are looking for anchor points of life, you're going to find them in the Lordship of Christ, the authority of Scripture, and your faithfulness. They're going to hold you through difficult times. You're created for conformity. Number two, you are formed for faith. And number three, the ministry of the Spirit through prayer is another anchor point. And that's why Jesus in John chapter 14, in the same conversation he had in private with his disciples, as he's there in the upper room, saying to them, looking at them, those 12, actually now 11, because Judas himself that went out away from them, and looking them in the eyeball and saying, you know, he said it this way in John 14, 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I'll come to you. He said it this way, just a chapter later in John 15. He said it in verse 26 again, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. What is he saying? He's saying there's the ministry of the Spirit, and it comes through prayer. Dependence upon human intellect and understanding, listen, or our natural gifts and abilities will produce natural, explainable results. Spiritual understanding doesn't come from intellect, but obedience to God. Did you get that? That spiritual understanding doesn't come through intellect, but obedience to God. Because if that was true, then the smartest, most intelligent people in the world would end up being Christians and the greatest voice box for God. And you know what I find? Some of the smartest people in the world stumble over the simple simplicity of the gospel. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Jesus Christ didn't just come to save you. He came to use you and allow you to be served because you are made for ministry. You are made to be in a place to have regular daily communion with Him. And only as we are dependent upon and directed and energized by the Spirit will the supernatural power of God be manifested. We should be living with instant obedience to the promptings of God's Spirit. Question, when's the last time God prompted you to do something for Him? And you didn't do it. Maybe you were fearful. Maybe God prompted you to say that kind word to that person at your work. Maybe it was some kind of witness that He just wanted you to say something. Maybe it was as simple as, you know what, bow your head and pray before you eat this lunch with those people. And you're in a place to say, I don't know. See, what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, you can grieve the Spirit of God. That is doing something that we shouldn't do. Can a Christian sin? Can you, Christian, not do something that you should do? Absolutely. Can you do something that you shouldn't do? Sure. You see, we can quench the Spirit of God not doing something that we should do, and we can grieve the Spirit of God doing something we shouldn't do. And that's why every day, my friend, you don't have to collect all your sins together and at the end of the week come now and tell somebody about all your sin and so they're going to wipe it off your slate. You as a Christian are a priest before God. You have the access to go to God the Father yourself and say, God, and I don't have to do it once a week. I can do it every day. Fact is, you might end up doing it multiple times every day. God, I quenched your Spirit today. God, I grieved your Spirit today. God, I didn't do something that I should have done. You prompted me to do this, and I didn't do it. God, I did this and it was my own flesh and I shouldn't have done that. Would you forgive me? God, I shouldn't have said that. I got angry. What I was trying to say was right. How I said it was wrong. God, would you forgive me? And going to that person and saying, God, this wasn't right. So when you're in a place to say, God, if I'm going to have the ministry of the Spirit through prayer, then it is going to be a deep foundation for me that I can hang on to. And lastly, I want to close with this because we won't get to the rest. But can I finish with it? Because it ties together with number four, experiencing a servant's heart of love. He emphasized it this way in John 13, in the same conversation in private with his disciples. He said it in all of John 13, but particularly in verse 15, he was expressing, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. He's talking about washing others' feet. I don't believe it's a justification for putting it in to an ordinance that God ordained us to wash people's feet every time we have communion. There are some that do, and it's fine. It's probably not a bad practice. But it's not a tenet of a belief. It's an illustration. In that economy, when they did not have Florsheim or Bostonians, or they did have a lot of Zoris. They didn't call them that, but they were sandals. When you walk into someone's home, you needed your feet washed. And it was an insult if someone wasn't there most of the time, a doulos, the lowest servant, to come in, have a bowl of water, and when you sat down there in the foyer of those homes, they would wash your feet. And here they were in the upper room just before Passover, the largest feast of the Jewish tradition, and not a one of them even thought about washing another's feet. Fact of the matter is they were wondering where the servant was because they had rented out the room and wondered why they didn't happen. Here Jesus, of all people, takes his robe, girds himself, and washes their feet, and they saw. This is what Jesus was talking about, a servant's heart of love. We've been called to as servants of Christ and of his people. Have a servant's heart means to esteem all others better than ourselves, to maintain a learner's heart and a teachable spirit, and to seek to make everyone around us a success. We are shaped to serve. And there are opportunities. You say, well, you know, what do you, I know, I'll do, I'll walk around with, you know, like a bowl of water, you know, and there you go, man. People get tired. Hey, come here, I want to wash your feet, man. Well, it's maybe not a bad idea. But he's laying out, as Jesus himself is saying, you apply that then to your own world. Whether that is at work as a servant, whether that is at home as a servant, whether that is the ultimate expression as serving in a church. Why do you get a servant in a choir? Why is he giving that an opportunity? Because you have an opportunity to express your serving, and some of you have voices that God gave to you, and it's great you're using it in a song service, but you know what God's wanting you to do? Put it up where people, other people can enjoy it. Some of you, you say, well, you know, as church members, you know, I've been kind of waiting to get involved. What are you waiting for? You got opportunities of ushering. You got opportunities to be a help in Sunday school classes. Some of you can teach in Sunday school classes. You got opportunities in the nursery. And you say, well, you know, there you go. He's just kind of doing that because of volunteerism. You know what? It's beyond that. The point is, I want to be able to serve other people and make others a success. And there are multiple ways to do that.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.